Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
An effort to deceive voters. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Nicole Murray. On this Tuesday, April 23rd, glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Prosecutors in the Trump hush money case say he conducted a plan and coordinated conspiracy to influence the 2016 election.
The Supreme Court hears arguments over a local law in Oregon that punishes homeless people for sleeping outside.
Arrests at Yale, a closure at Harvard, and encampments at NYU. Hear about pro-Palestinian demonstrations at elite schools.
And a new study finds a significant portion of us plan to assist our parents financially.
What comes to mind first of all is that over a third of Americans, or 36%, say they think that their parents will need financial assistance as they get older. Additionally, more than half of Americans either currently do or plan to assist their parents financially, whether that means like paying for things, managing their money, or both.
Elizabeth Ayola at NerdWallet on financially assisting aging parents. The prosecution in the Donald Trump hush money case says the former president broke the law and corrupted the 2016 election by trying to cover up sexual encounters with a porn star, an attempt to influence the election. Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, countered with this. He said, quote, "I have a spoiler alert. There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy." Trump spoke to reporters when the court day was finished.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime that's going on outside as we speak, right outside as we speak.
Opening statements were heard yesterday, while jurors also heard briefly from former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, who prosecutors say took part in a scheme to suppress unflattering stories about Trump. Trump is charged with falsifying business records to cover up a $130,000 payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet about a sexual encounter she says they had 10 years earlier. Trump has pleaded not guilty and denies the encounter took place. Some of the country's elite universities are trying to de-escalate campus tensions over the war between Israel and Hamas. Police arrested dozens of people yesterday at pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Yale University in Connecticut and New York University. Plus, the gates to Harvard Yard were closed to the public. The police crackdowns came after Columbia University canceled in-person classes in response to protesters setting up tent encampments at its New York City campus last week. Demonstrators at Yale demanded the school divest from military weapons manufacturers. Student protester Chisato Kimura.
We're paying a lot of tuition to be here. We want to know where our money is going. We want to know where the investments are going as students. That seems like a pretty reasonable ask. And how they responded was arrests.
The Yale Daily News says there were 45 arrests. 80 miles south, officers moved on the NYU crowd, which had grown into the hundreds at around 8:30 last night. Video on social media showed police taking down tents in the protesters' encampment. The Senate today is scheduled to vote on a foreign aid package that would include money to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The total funding would be roughly $95 billion. It is expected to pass. Will it be taxpayer money well spent? Analysis from Joe Bacino, retired U.S. Army colonel. Joe, do you like it?
Well, it's good for the country. It's good for the United States. It's good for our interests in Europe. It's good for our defense industrial base. It's good for jobs. You know, this is a win all around. It's unfortunate it took this long to get everything approved, but everything's moving along now, and this is a win. This is a win for us and a win for Ukraine.
All right. Some say there's no accountability for the money, say, that's going to Ukraine, $60 billion worth, or it's become a losing proposition. I mean, Ukraine doesn't seem to have any momentum right now. To that, you'd say what?
It's a complicated answer to that. I don't think Ukraine is going to win. I think there's no way for Ukraine to win this war, right? So let's partition that. Okay, let's compartmentalize that and think about if we keep Ukraine in the war for another year, what does that do for us? Well, it bleeds Russia out a little while longer. And this money that goes into Ukraine, it's not as though we're sending billions over to Zelensky. It goes into our defense industrial base. Okay, it goes to Lima, Ohio, to make tanks. It goes into Arizona, where we make the Switchblade drones. It goes to Simi Valley, California, where we make the parts for some of our rockets that we're hitting, the HIMARS rockets. So this is going into our defense industrial base. It's jobs for us. And also, we need to re-energize our defense industrial base in the event that we engage in a high-conflict war, a high-conflict, high-tech war with China. So this is all good for us. But yes, to your first question, you know, there's a real risk. I don't actually see a pathway for Ukraine to win the war against Russia. But let's just break that off from the broader conversation of this spending package.
It's really more about, I guess, at what point will Ukraine have a decent place to compromise from? Or Russia sort of spins it as if mission accomplished, we're pulling out?
Well, I mean, you know, look, Russia can put pressure on Ukraine until Ukraine finally breaks. You know, Russia can just throw mass at Ukraine until Ukraine breaks. And, you know, I don't know what that point is. You know, if Ukraine stays in the fight, there's a possibility that we can broker some kind of agreement whereby, you know, Russia doesn't gobble up all of Ukrainian territory. There's some sort of agreement that's partly favorable to Ukraine. You know, strategically, in terms of the military component of this, it's a tough spot for Ukraine, irrespective of whether this went through or not.
Mm. We're speaking with Joe Bacino, retired U.S. Army colonel. The rest of the money here, so it's our $60 billion roughly for Ukraine. There's another, what, I think 26 or so for Israel, another 8 for Taiwan. Yeah, do you like the money going to those places as well?
I like the money going to Ukraine. I was hoping we would separate ourselves from the fight in Israel. It's really, you know, the way Israel is adjudicating this war, particularly with Netanyahu, you know, doubling down on a ground assault in Rafah, you know, that's not good for our standing in the Middle East. That's not good for our standing in the world. So, you know, I was not favorably predisposed towards that aspect of the money. And, you know, Taiwan, of course, you know, we do need to continue to support and provide arms to Taiwan. That's money that would help us in the event of a high conflict, a high-tech, high-end conflict with China.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Bacino, retired U.S. Army colonel.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. The Supreme Court is facing questions about the growing issue of homelessness. One question before the justices: can cities punish people for sleeping outside when there's no space available in a shelter? Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Supreme Court is questioning lower court findings that ordinances restricting sleeping in public amounted to unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment. The Oregon city of Grants Pass outlaws sleeping in cars parked on the street or in public parks, but has no shelter available. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals found such measures effectively criminalized homelessness. But yesterday, members of the Supreme Court's conservative majority suggested that the lower court intruded on the discretion local officials need to govern their communities. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Grants Pass in rural southwest Oregon began fining people $295 for sleeping outside as the cost of housing escalated and tents sprung up in the city's public parks. The San Francisco-based U.S. 9th Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the law, ruling that banning camping in places without enough shelter beds amounts to cruel and unusual punishment. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Prosecutors in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial have alleged the former president corrupted the 2016 election by attempting to cover up sexual encounters with porn star Stormy Daniels. Trump at a Manhattan courthouse.
This is a Biden witch hunt to keep me off the campaign trail. So far, it's not working because my poll numbers are higher than they've ever been because the public understands that it's a witch hunt.
Jurors also heard from the prosecution's first witness, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, who allegedly suppressed unflattering stories about Trump to help get him elected.
Number two.
Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters have been arrested at Yale University and New York University as school administrations work to defuse campus tensions over Israel's war with Hamas. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
People need to find their humanity. Have the conversations, talk to each other, understand different points of view, because that's what college students should be doing.
Columbia also canceled in-person classes yesterday, and the gates to Harvard were closed to the public.
Number three.
The Senate will vote today on the $95 billion foreign aid package that will provide financial assistance to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan for final approval. Florida Senator Rick Scott speaks out against it on Fox.
None of this can pass the Senate unless they get Republican votes. If we all stand together, if every one of us says we will not support a bill unless we secure our southern border, if we say that, this cannot pass.
If approved, the legislation will go to President Biden to be signed into law. A Minnesota state senator has been arrested on the suspicion of first-degree burglary. Formal charges against Democrat Nicole Mitchell are still pending. Make sure to look up at our skies tonight at approximately 7:48 p.m. Eastern Time. April's full moon, also referred to as the pink moon, will reach peak illumination. According to Healthline.com, people could be more anxious, have higher blood pressure, and even get less sleep from the celestial event.
Yeah, it was good last night, the moon. I know it wasn't the pink moon, but last night's moon was really good.
It's going to be so pretty. I hate going out whenever I know there's a full moon. Like, you never know. People are on edge.
Really?
No. You don't think so?
No.
How? Full moon? No.
Pleasure with us. You've heard talk about parents financially supporting their adult children, but what about the opposite? Children financially supporting their parents? Here's Elizabeth Ayola, personal finance expert at NerdWallet. Elizabeth, give us takeaways on a new study.
What comes to mind, first of all, is that over a third of Americans, or 36%, say they think that their parents will need financial assistance as they get older. Additionally, more than half of Americans either currently do or plan to assist their parents financially, whether that means like paying for things, managing their money, or both.
Boy, it seems like an impossible task sometimes, right? Here we are, we call us the sandwich generation, right? We're you've got to help your parents a little bit. Maybe you're still raising kids of your own. Of course, you got to save for retirement. You got to sock away money for college. Maybe you need that emergency slush fund. I mean, how do you do it all here?
Exactly. I'm exactly in those shoes. And it can be very, very tasking. But it's important, first of all, for people to remember to budget. While it's noble to help your parents and kind of want to help them out financially, you as they say, you have to put on your own face mask first. That's extremely important because one day you're going to age and you're going to need to fund your own retirement as well.
Yeah. All right. So if we're helping our parents, what's it typically with? What kind of bills or money situations?
Well, there are many ways that Americans are currently supporting their parents. Currently, the top three areas that we found in our study were that they're helping with food, with housing, and with medical costs. Following close behind was home care and assisted living. So those are other expenses that people are helping with, too.
Jeez. We're speaking with Elizabeth Ayola, personal finance reporter at NerdWallet. We're talking about this new survey they have about how adult children are now helping their parents financially. How does, say, an estate plan here get weaved into the conversation?
Oh, so estate plans should definitely be part of a conversation that parents and kids should consider having. And in terms of where it comes in, I would say maybe there's a hierarchy that you can, you know, potentially follow first. And that is having a conversation with your parents about what their expectations are and also where their finances are at the moment. So you might want to come and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, do you have enough to fund your retirement? And what are your expectations in terms of how I can help? Somewhere in that conversation, hopefully comes up what assets and liabilities that they currently have. And then you can kind of segue into the conversation around estate planning. So, you know, maybe mom has a 401k and they have some property. And then what are you going to do with it when you want to pass away? Do we have it in writing? And if we don't, how can I support you, you know, to get that done?
Yeah, it's not an easy conversation, right? Because I think generally speaking, our parents were secretive about money. I never knew what my dad made growing up, right? I couldn't imagine having asked him, hey, you know, where's the money hidden or what? What do you got left, or what are you tapping into for retirement? Right, it's a hard conversation.
Same. It's a very hard conversation, especially when you have cultural norms around not discussing money. It can be extremely uncomfortable. I would know, I'm currently in those shoes, yeah. But it can also feel like a relief or a burden lifted when you do have the conversation, because, you know, you're not guessing what's happening and you know exactly how things are in terms of their finances.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Ayola, personal finance expert at NerdWallet. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on PrizePicks for a deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, April 23. Gordon Deal with Nicole Murray. Some of our top stories and headlines. First witness called in the Trump hush money case. Yale and NYU manage pro-Palestinian protests on campus. Supreme Court here appears sympathetic to an Oregon city desperate to manage a growing homeless problem. The city of Baltimore says the owner and manager of the ship that crashed into the Key Bridge last month are directly responsible. Scottie Scheffler followed up his Masters win by taking the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and a Taco Bell manager to the rescue outside Philadelphia. That story in about 20 minutes. Business leaders are sending a warning to staff. Dissent that disrupts the workplace will not be tolerated. Google's decision to fire 28 workers involved in sit-in protests against the tech giant's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government is the most recent and starkest example of company's stricter stance. It's a story by Vanessa Fermans, deputy bureau chief at the Wall Street Journal. Vanessa, start with Google.
Well, last week, more than a couple dozen Google employees actually protested at Google offices in New York and in California. They held sit-in protests against the tech giant's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. And in turn, Google fired them.
And so it's within Google's right, because why?
They say that these protesters or employees were disrupting work. They say that other workers there felt threatened, and they said enough is enough. We accept that employees will sometimes disagree with what we are doing as a company, but we still are a workplace where we air some of those differences, but not if it disrupts work.
All right. So to that point comes the issue, right? What rights, if any, do workers have to speak out on the job? What's being said about that?
Well, it's really an open question. Legally, workers in the private sector aren't protected by the First Amendment's guarantees of free speech. But there is also just a lot of uncertainty about how much free expression by workers is consistent with, operating a workplace. In general, companies basically are the ones deciding just how much they will tolerate.
Yeah, because you
and
said
especially if it interferes or affects a company's business operations, of course.
Sure. And then on the management/owner side, there's always the risk of ignoring workplace dissent.
Sure. Companies have been facing pressure on both sides of this issue for quite a while, especially in the last several years. You have employees, particularly younger employees, who are pushing their companies to take stands on political and social issues. On the other side, of course, I think on the whole, companies would rather not play the play this role in society, but they have been responsive to those employees as well as consumers. They see it as a business issue as well. But on the other side, you know, it can be very easy. It's very easy to land yourself in a culture war, as you know, we've seen Disney, for instance, run into that in Florida with their tussle with Governor Ron DeSantis, and certainly the Bud Light flap last year when they did a marketing promotion with a transgender influencer.
Yeah, we're speaking with Vanessa Fermans, Deputy Bureau Chief at the Wall Street Journal. The story is called Company Bosses Draw a Red Line on Office Activists. It was suggested in your story, too, that this is a correction to the last several years.
Yes, exactly. I would call the apex of all of this the aftermath of George Floyd's killing by a Minneapolis police officer. You know, at the time of his death, his killing, you know, a lot of, hundreds really of companies, U.S. companies, announced their support of the Black Lives Matter movement. They pledged to really focus on diversity initiatives at their companies and also donate millions of dollars to such causes. They really wanted to show they were on this side of the issue of racial justice or racial injustice. But, you know, things have really changed. It changed already a year later when several states started to pass voting restriction laws, and companies were much more hesitant to get involved on that issue.
Yeah. All right. So we touched on Google. Starbucks is involved here in this conversation as well. Explain there.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that cropped up, and a lot of companies have had to deal with this in the aftermath of the, you know, Hamas attacks on Israel last October. This is such a contentious issue. It's such an intractable issue that, as we know, is very raw, very painful for a lot of people for a different reason. And companies really see no win situation here on really going too far on a limb.
Thanks, Vanessa. Vanessa Fermans, Deputy Bureau Chief at the Wall Street Journal. As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Gordon. That's NetSuite.com/Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know there's no love lost around here or in most of the country for the New York Yankees, but nevertheless, you can't help but feel a tiny bit or maybe just laugh really hard at the Bronx Bombers at what happened yesterday. Just a few pitches into an afternoon game against the Oakland A's, Yankees manager Aaron Boone was ejected for arguing with the home plate umpire. Problem is, neither Boone or anyone in the dugout was saying anything at the time. It was a fan sitting behind the dugout that was chirping at the ump, but Boone took the brunt. Replays showed a fan in a blue shirt shouted something that caused the umpire to react. Boone, as you can imagine, flew off the handle after getting erroneously tossed. Then in a press conference after the game, called the phantom ejection embarrassing.
That was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny.
And a lot of it is not safe for radio. Because it was amazing. The audio, the microphones picked up everything.
Yes.
There weren't a lot of people in the ballpark. It was a day game. It had just started, so there weren't a lot of people there, not a lot of fan noise. So we picked up literally every single thing they were saying.
Including the S word and the F bomb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
At least a couple of those.
For all to hear.
Managers are known to throw out.
That was funny. So Boone had kind of already set the scene because
right,
he was
yes,
hot.
Yes. It and should then, be noted that the umpire was sort of on edge because they had just had a little argument a couple of minutes beforehand. So he was almost waiting for something to come from the dugout.
And so there's this guy in this like a royal blue pullover.
Yeah.
Sitting right behind the dugout.
Right. Probably paid a lot of money for that seat too.
Right. And he's probably, within 8 or 10 feet of Boone.
Yes.
So he says something, and the umpire hears it, and of course, the audio appears to come from Boone. That is hilarious. And that guy just sat there like, what? Who said something?
I don't know. Funny. I don't know who you're talking to.
Great.
And we've done a lot of Australian snake stories over the years, so it stands to reason that a lot of people show up at hospitals down under after being bitten. Now that's fine, but doctors and staff have one request: don't bring the snake with you. This comes as the director of emergency medicine at a prominent Queensland hospital told Australian TV that a recent snake bite victim brought along the highly venomous eastern brown snake that did the deed in a poorly secured plastic container. This gave the staff a scare, slowed down treatment for non-snake bite victims, and of course, put a lot of people in danger. And it's not the first time, as a professional snake catcher in the area says he's been to the same hospital on multiple occasions to wrangle reptiles that were brought in by patients.
Wow. Can you imagine?
We don't need to know what kind of snake it is. We'll just check you to make sure that everything's okay, that you don't have venom in you, or take the venom out, whatever has to be done. We don't need to know. We don't need to see the snake and ID the snake in the hospital.
Hey, do you guys need this?
Yeah, right.
Ah,
right.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he think that maybe to find an antidote or something,
they could
pull venom from the snake that just bit him?
Yeah, yeah. I think people, they think that, the doctors or whoever is going to want to know what type of snake it was, maybe a different type of venom, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, all the venoms, just leave the snake at home, please.
With an eastern brown snake, if you get bit,
mm-hmm.
how soon might it be before you start feeling faint or need to sit down? He made it to the hospital, I guess.
I mean, good for him. Yeah. I feel like that's something that needs to be taken care of urgently.
Because he's a superhero. Thank you, Mike. Hey, it's Gordon Deal. And if you're tired of having the same thing over and over again every meal, do what I did and try Factor. Factor brings you chef-crafted gourmet meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from over 35 weekly menu options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Factor's ready-to-eat meals mean no prep and no mess, using the most premium ingredients like truffle butter and filet mignon. Customize your plans to fit your life. Pause or adjust deliveries anytime. And for April, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long. Just look for the badge to find your favorite low-carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DEAL50 at factormeals.com/deal50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50. Hey, glad you're with us. For some travelers, the mere thought of packing a carry-on bag can sour even the most potent vacation anticipation. The New York Times has a list of strategies for packing your carry-on. Number one, pack colors that coordinate so you can bring fewer items yet still have options, like re-wearing the same pants with various shirts. Darker colors mean a stain won't render something unwearable. Number two, how do you know which bag is best if you'll be carrying it a long distance? One with wheels may be best. If you'll be on public transportation or climbing stairs, go for a backpack or lightweight duffel. When packing, at least one expert says roll your clothes rather than fold them. Takes up less space. Got a suit jacket? There's a technique where you turn one shoulder inside out, then tuck the opposite shoulder inside it. Then align the sleeves and fold the jacket in half. Heavy things like shoes go on the bottom of the bag and stuff them with any socks, belts, or jewelry. And call your hotel or vacation rental to find out if items like hair dryers and sunscreens are provided so you don't have to pack your own. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Supreme Court appears sympathetic for cities plagued by homeless camps and seems inclined to uphold local laws that allow officials in Grant Pass, Oregon, to fine and imprison people for sleeping in public spaces. Interim CEO at the National Network to End Domestic Violence, Wendy Mahoney.
So when survivors are calling to find housing and shelter and they are indeed in danger, there's nowhere to go.
A lower court had previously declared the laws are an unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment.
Number two.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the investigation into Israel's alleged human rights violations is being carried out to the same standard as it would for any other country.
Do we have a double standard? The answer is no. As this report makes clear, in general, as we're looking at human rights and the condition of human rights around the world, we apply the same standard to everyone.
The department is preparing to announce restrictions on military assistance for specific Israeli units.
Number three.
Two teenage boys and a 12-year-old have been arrested in Southern California after allegedly beating a homeless man with tent poles and a tripod. Police said the boys have been charged with assault, assault with a deadly weapon, and conspiracy to commit a crime. Handbag designer Nancy Gonzalez has been sentenced to 18 months in prison after pleading guilty to smuggling last year. Authorities said Gonzalez, whose animal skin accessories have styled Britney Spears and the cast of Sex and the City, illegally imported merchandise from Colombia that was made from protected wildlife. A group of Good Samaritans jumped into action to help save 71-year-old Sam Orbovich after his car became engulfed in flames on a Minnesota highway. The group pulled the man from his vehicle through the driver window. Tessa Sand, one of the people who helped on ABC.
Several people at the same time I did were out trying to get the door open.
Orbovich survived with minor injuries.
I saw that video. That was riveting stuff. Oof,
those
terrifying.
Flames were huge. Yeah.
That's some brave people right there. Thank you, Nicole.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
Glad you're with us. You may recall the Taco Bell slogan, "Think outside the bun." Taco Bell has an employee who can think outside the store. At the Taco Bell in Richboro, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia, manager Becky Arbaugh wasn't working the lunch rush, but was around nevertheless. She heard a scream coming from the drive-through window, followed by the harrowing words, "Call 911, the baby isn't breathing." Instead, Arbaugh threw off her headset and rushed to see Natasha Long holding the lifeless blue body of her 11-week-old son, Miles. Mom handed her baby to the Taco Bell manager, and Arbaugh performed CPR, reassuring mom the baby would be fine. Finally, Miles began to breathe. GoodNewsNetwork.org says the circumstances could not have been more fortunate for Miles because Arbaugh, a mother to four children herself, has already restarted the heart of her daughter a few times owing to medical complications. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.